It had come from below, something striking him with unbelievable force between the legs, driving into his genitals, a hideous metallic grating against the point of his pubic bone. The breath fled his lungs, and his cry of shock wasn't even audible to Dean, who crouched behind him, the turquoise-hilted knife firm in his right hand. Warm blood ran over his fingers, across the back of his hand, and up his lower arm.
Come in, quick!
Ryan's head appeared over the sill, peering into the room, seeing a macabre tableau. Dean's blade was still buried high in the sick man's groin, pressing him up onto the tips of his toes. He dropped the M16 on the floor, and his arms were spread wide, fingers bent into tortured claws. The guard's eyes were staring wide and blank, his tongue protruding from his bloodless lips. Poised in helpless agony, he was frozen into immobility by the vicious attack. Ryan pushed the muzzle of the Sig Sauer under the man's throat, angling it upward.
Let him go.
There's more at the front.
I know. Four of them.
Ryan beckoned for the young woman to join them, helping her to climb in through the window and sliding it shut behind her.
It was you that got me out of that earthfall, wasn't it?
I thought you might have changed, but you still asked too many questions.
Yeah, I did. You okay to move?
Try me.
You got a handgun?
Ryan pointed at the sick man's corpse.
Yeah. Browning high power, 9mm. Can I take it?
No, too much for you. Still, better than nothing. Make sure you...
Brace my wrist. I know that.
We could go out the same way we came in.
It looked like nobody had heard them butchering the two guards. Ryan glanced outside, seeing the way was clear.
Yeah, why not?
Coming in.
Okay.
Ryan steadied the pistol at the center of the door.
It's colder than an Agatha's Guardian.
Fire blast.
Ryan motioned for Kate and his son to get out of the window while he dropped to one knee, steadying his right wrist in the classic position. He shot the second man through the lower stomach as he rushed in, deliberately avoiding knocking him into the others. If Ryan didn't take out all three, then he'd failed. The third man managed to snap off a single round at Ryan, but the bullet struck the doorframe and angled away into the wall. Ryan picked him off easily. Five out of the six sec men were down, either dead or dying. The final guard charged in after his colleagues. His combat boots slipped on the gray ice, and he fell sideways. Ryan snapped off two quick rounds, one of which nipped a slice of flesh from the back of the man's left calf. The other missed completely. Then he was off and running, ignoring the blood that was soaking through the leg of his pants, filling his boot. Ryan couldn't get to the door for another shot over the dead and dying. He holstered his warm blaster and climbed quickly through the open window at the rear of the hut. Kate and Dean were waiting for him.
Head for that big building over there. Semyonin will be here in less than 5 minutes. With moonlight on this fresh snow, he could pick us off at half a mile with that sniper's rifle he used to carry. We gotta hide up.
It was all that Major Commissar Grigory Semyonin could do to hold on to the tattered rags of his fleeing sanity. His eyes stared clear through the wounded sec man who'd brought him the unwelcome message.
The boy is gone, and all guards are dead!
All but me, Major Commissar!
No. All are dead.
Sec Boss Benson wasn't absolutely sure he'd heard the Russian's command correctly.
All of them, Major Commissar?
Suddenly, Zemyanin was filled with enormous good humor.
Yes, my good chap. Execute every single worker not in the mines. It will take an hour or so. Then all of the available beaters, sekmen, can join the hunt. It will be great fun if the weather remains satisfactory, will it not?
The shift in the tunnels?
They will stay there. After we have caught Cawder and his mewling brat, then we shall reorganize the remaining serfs into two half shifts. And you will lead search parties to replace those who have given their lives for their beloved leader. I might raise a memorial to their loyalty.
There was a distant smile on the pocked face that made the sec man wish he could find a very deep hole to creep into until this even more terrifying madness had passed.
See to it. Execute them, then bring all the men to where the sport has taken us.
Where's that, Major Commissar?
The trail in the snow will quickly provide us with the answer to that riddle.
Ryan had seen similar sights in other places in the Deathlands, normally on the edges of the ruins of the larger vills, where power and industry had ridden in tandem. But the huge rusting towers of machinery were a new experience for Dean and for Kate. The woman stood stricken with wonder in the main entrance hall.
Was it some sort of religion?
Dean craned his neck, peering upward.
Must have been to build blasters. Is that what it was for, Dad?
Turbines and generators to work these mines in the old days, way back before the long winters came along.
We hiding here?
Yeah.
Ryan looked around, not displeased with what he'd found. The building was truly enormous, and must once have housed some of the processing equipment as well as the power plants. It was a maze of corridors and levels, where three armed people could comfortably hold off 100. In the end, the weight of men and blasters would triumph, but it would be at a terrible cost, and take a lot of time. And a lot of time meant a lot of chances to escape free.
Could be worse.
Is it surrounded?
Not really, Major Commissar.
Not really?
Zimyanyan shook his head in mock bewilderment.
That sounds rather as though my express orders have not been followed. Is that correct?
I mean that we don't have enough men to cover it completely.
The Russian smiled.
Of course.
It's real big.
And I had thought it so tiny it would fit into the hand of a child. No. I am merely jesting, my dear fellow.
And the back runs clear up against the face of the cliff.
Can they escape us that way, do you think?
There's a path that leads up and around the valley. Trackies use it.
You have men covering it?
Sure, yes, of course. Right, Major Commissar. Men with rifles watching the back.
There are no tracks leading out again.
Thought of that. Checked real careful. Got a half-breed. Part Chiricahua Apache from the desert. Went right around.
You've done well. Had you failed me, I would have heated a ramrod until it glowed white, and then I would personally have inserted it slowly into your body. They would have heard your screams even in far-off Mother Russia.
Want us to close in or just sit tight?
Zimyanyan glanced at the sky.
Still 3 hours to first lamp.
Light.
What is that?
You say first light, Major Commissar, not lamp. That's all.
Ah, I understand. I am grateful. I am always eager to add to my poor store of knowledge of the English tongue.
You were saying about there being 3 hours until dawn?
I was. And I think that you and the rest of the segment should wait and watch. The rest will join you once the killings are done.
Even as he spoke, he could hear the sound of regular spaced single shots coming from the living quarters. Zimyanyan smiled as he thought of another joke. Living quarters.
They are dying quarters, are they not?
Sure are. So, we all sit tight. Go in when we got enough men.
The Russian's brain was racing like a flywheel that's lost its controlling governor.
You will simply wait for further orders from me.
He spun on his heel and began to walk toward the cathedral bulk of the massive building.
Corder and I have things to settle. I am going inside, and I might be some time.
The short, powerful figure disappeared into the looming entrance of the power plant. They had all heard the clatter and shouting as the thin line of uniformed sectmen got into position around their hiding place. Ryan left Dean and Kate huddled together on a high gallery at the heart of the rambling complex, going on a swift and urgent wreck. He squinted out, unseen, through the smashed windows. Twice he could easily have picked off members of the Ruskies' attacking force with a Sig Sauer, but that would have shown his hand too soon. Better to wait and use surprise and doubt as primary weapons. He counted 20 men, all with rifles, containing a thin perimeter. In the distance, he could also hear the regular sound of shots being fired, a sound that spoke of organized killings. Ryan could hardly believe that Zimyanyan was taking out all his own workers just to have a better chance at him. But that was the only logical explanation. Apart from the far-off echoing shots, the sarcophagus was still. Once, Ryan thought he heard a faint sound, a kind of metallic scraping, but it wasn't repeated. Zimyanyan had been trained as an ambitious young man in the arts and crafts of street fighting, dodging in and out of gaping doorways, checking hollow cellars and roofless attics, working in a combat team, each man supporting the next. Then, as an officer marked for promotion within the security force, he was sent to hone his skills among the empty boulevards of the largest ruined village, A place that had changed its name so many times over the centuries that it was now simply called Grad. There he'd run alone, given a Makarov and a single round of ammo with a saw-edged knife sent among the young gang packs that ran in the ice-slick streets. They were teen killers known as